Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live throughout the world at KCNR1460.com. Carl Bott and Ted Lighty's with me today. Usually it's Trish, but Trish is down at a graduation, I think, for one of her grandkids from a fire academy or something. You know, it's a great, whatever it is, it's cool. That's and I'm here with Ted Lighty.
That is very nice.
It is. Today, the 24th of September, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, encourage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Of course, Jared's at the helm. Good morning, Jared. What's
good
it look
morning.
Like for the weather?
Well, today it's a little smoky right now. It's a high of 61. Or we're currently at 61. We're going to have a high of 83 and a low of 55. Tomorrow it's going to be sunny and mostly clear with a high of 86, a low of 60. On Saturday it's going to be sunny and mostly clear with a high of 90, a low of 65. And on Sunday it's going to be hot with a high of 97 and a low of 67.
What's the temperature right now?
61.
61, and it's going up to?
83.
So they modified their assessment of the heat this weekend. It was supposed to be 100 and 101, right?
Well, we've been seeing this week it was going to be in the 90s, but
it looks like it moved a little further down the week.
Little bit down.
It was going to be Sunday. This is the first hot day, but now it's going to be Monday.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So
okay. Not bad. Okay. I enjoy the fall weather. Yeah, I just can't tell you how much it does for my psyche.
When we hit fall?
Oh, yeah. I love the fall.
I know.
It's better than summer.
Better than summer.
Well, especially when you're big like me, man. You know, 235 this morning. I'm like, dang, I can't stand the heat. I get cabin fever, but not in the winter. I love the winter. Like, I can't get cool. I love the cool. I can't do the heat, though, man.
Let me get a word in here, will you? Okay.
No.
No. So I said, well, Ted asked really good questions the other day. I said, Ted continually asks good questions. I said, I just sit here. I go out, get a cup of coffee, come back, you know.
Yeah, my questions are irrelevant, though. You know, like,
they are.
Hey, did you get a haircut? That's a good question, right?
No, good question. Hey, did you get a haircut? No, I just didn't wash my hair.
We decided that it was me who smelled good the other day. Not you, remember? We tried to figure it out. It was me. I'm the one who smelled good. I kept saying, damn,
Carl,
you
smelled
good.
It was you. No, it was you.
I know,
you. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call, 365-3793. And for the next hour, it's going to be me and Ted discussing things. And 8 o'clock, Stephanie Bridget, DA, is coming in. She's bringing a guest. I'm not sure who it is, but she's bringing a guest in. Now, let's talk COVID outbreak right here in town.
Oh, I know.
It was at the reported by the Record Searchlight. 34 people, I believe, at the Windsor. It's a skilled nursing facility. So a skilled nursing facility usually means dementia, something like that, Alzheimer's, or long-term care that people need a nurse 24 hours a day. So, and it looks like it was brought in from their own workers, according to reports. So, and there has been a death, but, you know, and they said it was COVID related. That was what I got gleaned from the paper this morning. Now, well, but if you look at the underlying, conditions of what's, you know, of the Windsor skilled care facility or any skilled care facility, the immune systems can be very weak, all of these things. So, you know, we just pray for the best for Windsor. So, or for these people, I should say. But even then, we still only have, I believe, 6 people in the hospital and maybe 3 people in the intensive care unit. And we're still shut down. Even this was for us. It was a huge spike. The other 20 cases they had were college students all kind of living together, or 12 of them. They were all living in like the same areas. So again, you get a spike like this, and this is huge for us because we just haven't had that in Shasta County. We didn't have a Butte County weekend of 400 coming popping positive for it. So this is isolated in two spots, but yet there's still these semi-draconian measures about not letting our restaurants open up fully. You know, churches, you still can't sing. You still can't go to church 50% or even less.
Well, down in Sacramento area, they're still eating outside. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Sacramento, they're still eating outside.
And in New
Mexico,
you can get fined for not wearing a mask.
Right.
And they shut down their restaurants again. So they're still at like level 4 for us.
Right. Yeah. I'm thankful we're still managing it somehow. Yeah. But you got to watch out for these spikes, you know. I mean, COVID's a real thing. I mean, I don't know what to tell people who you know, try to downplay it, or maybe not downplay it, but I mean, we need to be open, but we also need to be safe. I can be talked into safety. That's why I tell people, look, I can be talked into safety. I don't want to wear a mask. In fact, you know, I would rather
not. You
hate
wearing a mask.
I hate wearing a mask.
But you wear a mask.
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's what I see on Facebook. Well, it's those, you know, it's those Trumpers that refuse to wear a mask. And I answer back, I support President Trump. I wear a mask. I socially distance. We have so many hand sanitation stations in this office and studios.
Oh, sure.
That you can't believe it. You can't turn around. You've got more alcohol on your hands around here than you'll ever drink.
Oh, I know. Well, it does smell like tequila.
Yeah, not you. Well, I do put a little good tequila in it, so it gives it that flavor.
Yeah.
I mean, or it gives it that aroma, so you don't feel like it's just alcohol.
Well, you can attach yourself to it in a way, instead of making it an alien on your hands, it feels more, you know, like home. It feels more like home.
Feels more like home.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm afraid to put Jameson's in it because then you'd be drinking it.
Did you know that? I'll talk to you about it later.
Well, uh-oh.
I'm going to talk to you about Jameson.
Jameson. Okay. And we're going to take a quick break. I want to come back and talk about what happened in Louisville last night and yesterday, and the attacks the media's made on the Attorney General of Kentucky.
The Attorney General had anything to do with that?
Well, he made the statement about it, and he's a African American who's a Republican, and he talked about what happened with that grand jury, and he explained it. Absolutely explained what happened, and we're going to talk about that when we get back. This portion of the show, however, is brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. And Sleep Number has this new bed, this new Sleep Number 360 smart bed that actually will allow you to sleep cooler during the summer. Why? It has a temperature balancing fabric that it uses that allows you to has 50% more breathable than other mattresses for a cooler sleep service. Now you hate the heat.
I sleep hot too.
Yeah, and so it creates your own personal microclimate. This is, you know, Sleep Number is constantly finding new ways to help you sleep better. Yeah, the Consumer Reports, which you know is pretty straight. It doesn't take money. It just rates things, and it puts them through the. It really does put them through the ringer. Has rated Sleep Number beds number 1 and 2 in their categories.
Wow.
And so you can, since you spend about a third of your life in bed, not you, you spend probably less.
Yeah.
Because you're always on the go. Me, as I get a little bit older, maybe I make up, I'm part of that average. So if you're only doing 25%, then I can do 40% of
yeah,
my
sure.
time. There
yeah.
you go. Somebody has to make up the average.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I can tell you right now, though, my friends, if we're out at a party and somebody's not having a lot of fun, Ted Leidy makes up for it. He will make up for you not having a good time. Somebody has to do it.
The DA is coming in this morning, so let's just keep that on the DL.
Right, but as far as Sleep Number goes, and I can't wait till the guys hear this on the other end, because they listen to this every day.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah, they do. They're introducing the new temperature balancing Sleep Number 360 smart bed. You can save up to $1,000 on a new 360 smart bed plus the smart adjustable base. Proven quality sleep is a life-changing sleep. Only in Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. You go down to our Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center, and then you, too, can experience having your own sleeping Sleep Number. My Sleep Number setting is 55. Linda's Sleep Number setting is 45. You don't have to compromise. You can have your own firmness. We'll be right back, 7:15 in the morning.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me. Pamela Swartz for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 143306.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. ICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. ICAP does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. ICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call ICAP services for more information, 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90SAPG0094010 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, right here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, of course, is one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Institute, fully accredited chest pain center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts there. Okay, we're doing Eagles stuff, it looks like.
Love the Eagles, Jared.
Yeah, we love the Eagles.
No, that was Thin Lizzy.
What was?
That was...
the one I just played?
The
Whiskey in the Jar?
No, the one coming out, the one going out.
That was in the city. Yeah.
In the city, by the Eagles. Yeah. Fantastic.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning.
Whiskey, that was from Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, that's what Jared said. It was great.
We were talking two different songs.
But both great.
By the way, Newsom is doubling down on his accusation against people who drive cars and have jobs. Accusing us of, if you have a car, or if you have a job, or if you have both, Newsom is accusing you of arson.
Yeah. Why?
Haven't you ever heard him make his climate pronouncements lately?
Oh yeah, he was standing out there in the middle of a fire ravaged area, using somebody's.
The whole theory of anthropogenic climate change is that private transportation per se and gainful employment per se are the causes for all of Earth's climatologic perturbations since time immemorial. And so now Newsom has decided he's going to do something about it by banning the sale and registration of all new cars beginning 2035, and I'm not even sure he has the legal authority to do that via executive order, but he just did that nonetheless.
Well, the next governors can come in, and as we saw in the feds, that they can negate that executive order. It no longer exists. So, but
no.
We are pushing in that direction as long as we keep people in there blaming everything on climate change, and then they'll say we're going to do away with the oil industry, with non-renewables and all this. Well, we've already shown this year already that the renewable energy just can't handle it when things get tough. I mean, there's just not enough of it.
Well, I mean, if you need a new car in 2035 and you can't afford anything cheaper than a Tesla, you're out of luck.
Well, I think they're saying that you can still have your cars that were made before that.
This is only the first salvo coming from that guy.
Well,
yeah,
you can sign the recall petitions.
Yeah, you can have like a Gen 3 Glock, right? You can't get any new Glocks. You can't get any.
No, I know.
Won't be able to get any new Caddies.
No Caddies. That's right.
We were talking about that.
No diesels.
No diesels. That'd be horrible.
Hey, thanks a lot, Charles.
Well, I mean, remember, I mean, this is the same guy who tries to shut down everybody else's, restaurant and winery, et cetera, all the while keeping his own operation fully stocked and fully open and bragging about it, too.
Yeah, and then you're right. You're absolutely right. Rules do not apply for very, very rich people who are as well-connected as Gavin Newsom.
Oh, yeah, they don't apply. No.
Yeah. Okay, Charles, thanks a lot.
Take care, Charles. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call.
You too.
Okay. Dave, we got to make something clear here, and is that just because you are tested positive does not mean that you're showing symptoms.
Right.
Absolutely. I hope I didn't give that opinion. But once you've just having COVID running through a skilled nursing facility, though, is kind of a scary thing.
Well, it is scary because they're at most risk.
They're at the most risk. Their age, they've got, their immune systems may be down. Okay. Breonna Taylor, who by every report was just a wonderful woman.
Oh, I know, in Louisville. Sure.
I mean, she worked as an EMT, she worked two jobs, Everybody that knew her liked her. She was just, I mean, just a really fine lady from everything I've read. Well, on the night that she was killed, the police came in looking for, I believe it was her boyfriend. They crashed the door, and he said, I didn't know who it was. I started shooting. One of the policemen was hit, and then they had a fusillade of shots going into the house. She was killed. He wasn't hit. They arrested him. And so the grand jury met and just got out yesterday, and they had an indictment against one of the officers, not for shooting into Taylor's house. He fired 8 rounds to hit another house. And
so that was the indictment?
That was the indictment for unsafe firing of his weapon or whatever it was. He was indicted for it. He's already been fired. The other two officers, one of whom had been wounded in the original shootout, had been put on administrative duties. And so the Attorney General of Kentucky is the one that he said, this is what happened to the grand jury. They were fired on, they returned fire as, you know, to save their lives. And the fact is that it was a terrible tragedy, which would happen to Breonna Taylor. Her family received a check, which doesn't replace the person by any means, but received a check for $12 million. The city, you know, mea culpa there, yes, we're sorry this happened. She should not have been killed by any means. However, you know, they were fired on. And they do have a witness that said that they had announced themselves as police. So you can imagine what happened last night in Louisville.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I saw it.
It was Riot City.
Well, two police officers were shot.
Yeah, they got the guy that shot him.
Well, good.
But he shot him and ran off, but was identified. I don't know by the people in the crowd or if they just, you know, had good video of him or what. But he's been arrested.
That's a real criminal.
And the fact is,
that's a real criminal right there.
They arrested over 100 people in Louisville, and Breonna Taylor, and I didn't know her, but she seems to be like a type of person that wouldn't want riots because she's out there putting people together as an EMT. She's right. Putting people together. She doesn't strike me as a person that would say, let's go riot because I was killed. But, again, it happened.
It did happen, and it's completely sad, but... You know, I mean, you got to put yourself in the shoes of law enforcement. What are they supposed to do, right? I mean, they're just trying to do their jobs. That's what they get paid to do. Let's go serve these warrants and, you know, try to keep peace on the streets and protect the community and on and on. If one of them gets shot, I mean, it's on. People, they're going to shoot back. It's not a complicated deal. This isn't something that, and you know, I'm sorry about it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry about it.
And when people ask, why were 60 or 70 shots fired? It's because if you have 4 or 5 policemen out there, this is not, hey, Ted, it's your turn to shoot. No. They get somebody pointing a gun at them or some shots fired, they all shoot. I mean, that's just, they all shoot.
Well, it's just common sense. I mean, if they're getting shot at, they need to stop that as soon as possible. How do they do it as soon as possible? Well, they discharge a firearm.
Now, somebody asked, was it a no-knock warrant raid? It could be. A no-knock warrant raid is where they come up to the door and they kick the door in or they knock the door in because they believe that it's going to be dangerous if you give them a warning. But I did understand a witness heard them say police.
Well, so you could not only say but affirm that it was dangerous if you gave them a warning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what happened. It was dangerous. That means they got shot. I mean, you know, this isn't a complicated thing. A no-knock warrant means we went in. We wanted to gain the element of surprise because it's a dangerous situation, and it was dangerous. One of them got shot. So they were correct. Yeah. Everything was correct about it.
Yeah. And everything they did was correct.
Right.
However, an innocent person was killed in there. But once you start shooting.
Once you start shooting, it's on.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. I want to talk Supreme Court. Want to talk Supreme Court? Do you have something you want to talk about? The upcoming battle of who the media assault on Amy Coney Barrett has
already started.
They're accusing her of being the have you ever heard of that Handmaiden series?
Yeah,
where it's men are in charge and women are wearing, they wear these strange costumes, you know, and that. I mean, they've already accused her of being the, you know, of supporting something like that.
That is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Oh, no.
They're scraping the bottom of the barrel, though, I'll tell you
that. Well, they can't accuse her of rape.
Well, they could.
Well, I guess they could. You're right.
I mean, trust me, they could.
I guess some 15-year-old from 35 years ago say, well, you know, she assaulted me.
She was my babysitter.
Well, oh, don't even go there.
I'm just telling
you. Don't even go there.
Hey, look at Kavanaugh. They made that up.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. This is not an assisted living facility. River Commons Senior Living is for active seniors. Everything from 1 to 2 bedroom places, gourmet chef, so you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat that day. But each of the places have a little kitchenette so you can, you know, fix your own breakfast and those kind of things. Activity directors, they got transportation if you want it. What a great place to be, where you don't have to worry about taking care of everything. It's taken care of for you, and yet you can use this as a place, and then you spike out and travel and do all those things that you want to do. It's River Commons Senior Living. They are Northern California's premier retirement community, and they are pet friendly. Give Brian a call at 238-5981 and give him a call. Come on in. Take a look at River Commons Senior Living. You won't be sorry. We'll be right back with Richard when we get back from these.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder. Watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale is coming up on Saturday, October 3rd. Members and non-members will enjoy discounts on regular nursery prices. Don't miss this chance to save big on plants during this key season for planting perennials. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Experience the one and only luxury Cadillac Escalade ESV.
Play our cash and Cadillac swipe to win promotion.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
Weekly drawings Thursdays at 7, 8, and 9 p.m.
Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawing.
Grand prize drawing Thursday, October 29th.
Win a one-of-a-kind 2020 Cadillac Escalade ESV.
A legend reimagined with an exceptional design made for your comfort.
Details at WinRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic. Historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? Pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Turtle Bay has two new exhibits opening on Saturday, September 26th. Expedition Earth and Bench Press, Please Be Seated, Please. From interactive exploration around our world to awe-inspiring craftsmanship, these two exhibits have something to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Leidy here with Carl Bott, talking about Breonna Taylor. And listening to some Billy Joel. Absolutely love it.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm just wandering around out there.
Oh, that's okay.
That's okay. I know
we were talking. I'm reading the chat room. Boy, let me tell you, it's fired up about that.
Yeah. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell is the insurance agent you probably want to talk to when it comes to home insurance or health insurance. She's going to be on next week to talk about it. She's been helping people since 1993 and doing just a great job. Business continues to expand. I have my insurance for Judy. You can give her a call at 221-0441, Maxwell Insurance and Financial, at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Okay, here's the thing. Some people are saying, well, she wasn't this, she wasn't that. This is my comments on it. Breonna Taylor's dead. She didn't deserve to die. She was laying there asleep in her bed. Nobody's accused her of doing anything wrong. What happened was, and by the way, it was pointed out that it was her ex-boyfriend they were looking for, not her boyfriend there. The reason he didn't get charged is because they have very vigorous, as the Attorney General says, self-defense laws.
Right.
Somebody crashes through your door, you can protect your home. We have, actually, even in California, somebody crashes through your door. It's the presumption that somebody's there to do something bad to you.
Yeah, different when it's a law enforcement official, but okay.
Yeah, it's true.
But I see what you're saying.
But if a bad
and you could think that coming out of a deep sleep.
Yeah,
having a dream, you may not have heard that.
You just hear somebody crashing through your door. Right.
And that was his defense, and I'm sure that everybody thought it was pretty solid, and they went
and didn't
short from there.
Right. Okay, let's go to the phones. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. I looked at through DuckDuckGo, and this time,
I'm sorry. It's hard. It's very hard to hear you, Richard, right now.
I read on one of the websites I got from DuckDuckGo, because Google always, want two jobs and all that. But on DuckDuckGo, I looked on two or three pages past the first, and I read where she had been discharged after 5 months of being an EMT with a note, do not rehire. We're not privy, and we're not going to know her employment record.
No,
but,
and
her ex-boyfriend was a dope pusher, and the current guy that walked her, he was a lower level than the first boyfriend, and she was in the hallway. She wasn't in the bedroom sleeping in the bed. She was in the hallway. All I know is an EMT there in Louisville is not the same as an EMT here in the state of California. All I know, when I was discharged from the Army in 69, one of the jobs, the throwaway jobs, that I could get straight off was an ambulance driver. I did that for about 2 months, and then I got a real job. But that's it. I didn't have any training.
Well,
the guy just said, can you drive fast, kid? I said, yeah. And he says, okay, you're hired. But, maybe it's different there.
Well,
but she was a very young woman, and her at least her choice of boyfriend were like the lowest.
Well, but Richard,
for being so
right
responsible
now,
and having two jobs and children and all that.
That's right. So, Richard,
it doesn't mean that
they weren't going after her, and she was killed. Okay, thanks, Richard. Okay, It's kind of like this. I'm not going to besmirch a woman that was killed.
No.
That everybody said was not involved in this thing. And obviously that it was a terrible tragedy for both sides. They thought her ex-boyfriend was there. They came in after him, and they came in armed because they thought it was going to be dangerous. Well, even if the other boyfriend was in the drug deal, they weren't after him. His name wasn't on the warrant. So
I think people are more sensitive, and yeah. I am also, to yeah. the narrative than anything else. In there, not only this, but the narrative and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, everything we
yeah.
see on social media, if you know, I mean, I can get triggered. Everybody can get triggered. I get triggered sure. when somebody's lying on purpose on social media. I see it, right? I mean, and that people are sensitive to the narrative. They don't know what to believe and what not to believe or what to believe anymore. They really don't.
Well,
so, you know,
and
as soon as we hear Breonna Taylor's story, everyone's like, oh, that's not true. That's not it. You know what? Probably some of it isn't true. But the bottom line is I'm worried about other things. And she died horribly, and that's as far as I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
What's her past? I mean, you know.
Should she have been shot? No.
No.
No, but she was caught in a crossfire, and and for whatever reason, we look back to her. If the guy in the house been killed, there wouldn't be this big swelling of unrest because he was shooting, and she was an innocent victim in this, no matter if she hadn't been an EMT in 3 months or whatever. Okay.
Right. I totally agree. And, yeah. and that's the thing. And now, I said that to say this. You shouldn't be burning the place down in Louisville because of this.
Of course not.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
People. We got it. It's a horrible tragedy.
Gun sales in America have skyrocketed, not just in California. But throughout America, guns and ammo. And why? People are afraid. They think that society is breaking down, that they see not only the COVID as a problem, but also they see riots, they see mass demonstrations. People are afraid.
Well, I think it's appropriate they run straight to their constitutional freedoms, even the ones before that question them.
That's right.
Right. I mean, I'm getting people that you never would have thought would have bought a gun.
And
never.
As are we. As am I.
Oh yeah.
Family members.
Yeah.
And in fact, that and his biggest question is why can't buy ammo unless I have possession of my pistol. Yeah. That's right.
That's true.
But why? And so then you get into that. And then they find out that your constitutional rights have been stepped on by the state legislators, and they don't like that. So, okay, let's get started on this. The Supreme Court justice nomination is going to occur Saturday, day after tomorrow, and Trump is going to name his Supreme Court nominee. And it appears that the lead name on this is Amy Coney Barrett, who has got a lot of experience. She is she's already gone through the process. She's already crossed swords with Dianne Feinstein when it comes to the dogma of her religion, because Amy Coney Barrett is a Roman Catholic. A Roman Catholic, and she said, I'm not ashamed of being a Roman Catholic, and yeah, I am religious. I will not let my religion, though, be the deciding factor when I make decisions on the Supreme Court level. Well, back then, she said, on the 11th Circuit Court. If she comes on, the media is already focusing on Coney Barrett, and they're already starting to take her down. Phil, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on. You're on live.
Yeah, I was talking about the killing of the young woman and the police serving the warrant. A lot of times what happens in these search warrants, and I was an officer for 30 years, is the entry team making entry aren't the ones that procured the warrant. And whoever procured this warrant really didn't do it. It doesn't sound like they did a good job of identifying who lived at that residence.
Uh-huh.
So the entry team was going in there. They've got a picture of a guy that they give them at the briefing. They go in and they get what they get when they come in. So I'd be looking into whoever procured that warrant.
I imagine
why they failed.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point. You know, they thought a certain person was in there, and that person wasn't. But once you, as you know, once the entry team initiates entry,
they're going.
Whether it's an explosive entry or however, they're going. It's on. So, yeah. And so that's why it is so important that the homework's done, that they positively identified the person and, you know, that they're going after. And also, you know, who else is going to be in that house? What if there had been three or four kids in the house? Maybe there were. I don't know. But what if that
yeah.
what if that had happened? So, but the, well, you know, like you said, you've been a policeman for 30 years. You know,
yeah.
It's the onus is much more when you go, when you enter into a home like this, when you break through a door. That you, in most cases, the reason you're doing that is because you believe, one, evidence is going to be destroyed or it's going to be violent. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, there's exigent circumstances where you don't even need a warrant. But you go in there with the thought, you know, this, you know, I don't know the background on the guy they were looking for, but apparently they were doing multiple entries all over the town at the same time. So, like I said, I'm assuming the entry team wasn't the one that got the warrant.
Okay. All right.
And I don't know that for sure.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing it up.
All righty.
Okay, thanks for your comment.
That's all I have.
Okay, Phil,
thanks
a lot. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. It's the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. All your watches are repaired there. You need a watch battery in and out. The charge is very, very fair. They have a super selection of jewelry at Four Winds Jewelry. Everything from estate jewelry to Native American jewelry and the turquoise, and also ones that they design and build right there at Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. One of Linda's favorite places to hang out. We'll be right back. Ted Leidy, Carl Bott, 7:46 in the morning, 62 degrees, going up to 83 today.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
When I see our current representatives taking money from special interests, I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised, because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swart, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us. Not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-306.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. The coronavirus has disrupted much of our normal life in Shasta County. The virus is to be taken seriously for those at risk. However, closing Shasta County has had a severe economic impact on our local businesses and families, and keeping them closed is not the answer. It's time to open Shasta County now. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl Bott and Ted Leidy, he's been on twice this week, and it's an experience. We're going to try and bring Ted in on a regular basis on Mondays.
Mondays or Wednesdays?
Mondays or Wednesdays, whenever you're in town.
Because gun clubs open on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I'm heading down there right after this, teach class.
Yep.
And you're teaching a class this afternoon.
Yes, I am. Okay. A rifle class.
Northern Firearms Instruction. You know, tell people what Northern Firearms Instruction is.
Local business, started in 2007 in the firehouse in Shasta Lake City. Very proud of that. Taught one person. And we've since grown to about 43 locations and 25 instructors, and we got 11 of them locally. I think you probably saw just about every one of them on the range last Sunday, right? In fact, I had to go out and hire Tama County Corrections officer to come up and help us because we were short on people. So,
But if people are a lot of people are getting their concealed carry.
Oh boy, yeah.
And we've already got over 11,000 in the county. And can you tell people, how many people who legally have a concealed carry permit have ever gotten in trouble by misusing that?
Well, so not too long ago, about a month ago, we had a case where, and I'm just gonna remember it lightly. I didn't dig into it, but it was a young man in his 30s who had a permit, and he had somebody in the vehicle with him, and he had some drugs and an illegal gun and some stuff like that, I believe. And so, it's just stuff like that. When Tom Pasenko would come in and talk to us when he was a sheriff, he would tell us that the number one way people lose their permits is DUIs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the number one way they lose them.
That's the way they lose it. It's, they haven't used it illegally, but they've done something like they get a DUI and they'll get it pulled.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you can get a hold of you.
Yeah, 530-999-1822 on Facebook at Northern Firearms Instruction or on the web at usgunpro.com.
Okay. We have somebody on the phone. Is it Wayne?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, Wayne, what do you got, buddy?
Well, the thing, I just had a comment. They're talking about how they're going to have to grill the Amy Comey Barrett.
Yes, yes.
She's already been grilled by Dianne Feinstein, and from what I've heard, they don't really. It's not necessary. It's been practiced that they've done it now, and with the fiasco with Kavanaugh and everything, all of the crazy things that were proven not true. They should just say we're not going to do that this time. They're already trying to make up lies about her, and they should just say no. This is a president's choice, and put it right through. Without all this fiasco and
theatrics,
grandstanding.
Yeah.
You know, you know, someone that's of this caliber to have been already vetted, to have to go through that like Kavanaugh did, is absolutely inane. I would think the same thing about a Democratic person that was put through, and the Republicans started making up lies about him just to
show. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference which side it is
right. That
does it. And you're right, she has been vetted before. She has had words with Dianne Feinstein and others. And so how much
did Kamala get a shot at her, too?
Oh, yeah, of course. She's on that committee.
Right. So what are we going to do, go through the same committee again that's already vetted her? And it was recently. It wasn't, like, years ago. So I think that the president should say no. She just was vetted by Kamala. You know, the same committee. They passed her through for the circuit court. So we're just going to put her through and vote on.
Well, that's up to McConnell. McConnell's
right.
The one that controls this. So only thing Trump does, here's your name. I think that McConnell can, because he has a lot of power in this, that they can push it through. But I think that just for the good of the nation, that, yeah, give, you know, let them have a shot at her, but not a continuous, you know, like what happened with Kavanaugh. You're absolutely right, Wayne. It was such a fiasco, and everything in there was found to be a lie. And then the Democrats turn around and saying, if she said it, it must be true. And yet when somebody comes out and accuses Biden of it, everybody likes to imagine, you know, everybody wants to ignore that. So
right.
we talk about
hypocrisy.
And yeah, thank you. Hypocrisy in politics.
Biden's saying that it's an abuse of power, all of the things that Trump is doing. And here he held up $1 billion on the Ukraine deal to get his son, the prosecutor on his son, but that's okay, you know. Nothing to see here.
That report just came out, and so that'll be interesting to see how the media ignores that. Anyway, hey Wayne, we've got Stephanie Bridgen here.
I just wanted to make that comment. I don't need to go on the air.
Oh,
anyway.
Oh, we haven't even hit the 8 o'clock. No. I think your comment was very. It's very true. I think though she needs to go through the process, because otherwise they'll say, well, you know, this is a dictatorship, which they're saying already, and everybody there is a Nazi, which they're saying already. Let her go in front. Let people see that this is a very fine woman, whoever it is, because it is going to be a woman, a very
right.
fine woman who is experienced and able to do the job. So
right.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
Thanks a
okay,
lot.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay. Hey, okay. Hey, quickly, Jean. Good morning. Jean, you're on.
Yes. I just had a comment and just brought something up.
Okay.
Is that on Saturday, Franklin Graham is going to lead a huge Pray for America on the D.C. Mall. And I did call the White House, and I'm sure that other people's minds are thinking in the same vein. But with President Trump going to announce the on Saturday night, I think that we're going to have a big clash of, you know, Christians praying for America and then the group that's going to be out in the same area waiting to protest against his selection. So pray, people, pray.
Yeah, let's pray for peace here. Let's pray
that
people that disagree with each other can just disagree with each other, and it doesn't turn into people throwing live skunks at the other side or violence or anything like that. My gosh, Ted and I have many friends that don't agree with us.
Absolutely.
And yet we
right,
still
right.
go out. We still
I mean,
go out and have a beer.
I couldn't stand Obama, but I didn't go down and go out and burn property up.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And as frankly, as far as I'm concerned, Reading ought to be the example for every other city, and no matter what size city in this nation, where we could have two groups of people that were really, you know, disagreeing with the other side, yet no violence. They all sang the national anthem at the end of it. 1,500 people in Caldwell Park, not one bit of violence. This is the way it should be.
Right.
This
right.
is the way it should be. And, this is a great place.
And that man down in Red Bluff that made the national news because he had a mega hat on.
And two people assaulted.
72 years old,
yeah.
And some yeah. idiot jumped him and punching him in the head.
Yeah. And this was a veteran and a retired police officer.
That's why the polls are so bad.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, hey, we have to run.
Thank you
so much for your phone call. Okay, hey, we're gonna break for the news. We'll be back with Shasta County DA Stephanie Britton.
KCNR Shasta Redding Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump chiding his Democratic rival for already calling it a day as far as campaigning is concerned, labeling Joe Biden a very low-energy individual. The president's just getting started. He'll be traveling to the battleground state of North Carolina today, stopping in Charlotte to discuss health care. Mr. Trump also will hold a rally in Jacksonville, Florida. Two police officers shot, a suspect in custody. It happened during a night of violence in Louisville, Kentucky, over a grand jury's action in the Breonna Taylor case. The grand jury deciding against murder charges for the officers who shot Taylor. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear's plea to protesters falling on deaf ears.
I will never, ever tell someone not to give voice to their truth or to speak out for what they believe in. But I would ask that we not engage in any type of violence.
The wounded officers are expected to recover. Taylor was shot by police in her apartment. Officers executing a search warrant announced they were coming in. They entered the apartment, were fired on by Taylor's boyfriend, and returned fire, killing Taylor. Pair of Senate committees issuing a report on Joe Biden's son's work in Ukraine.
Republican Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, says the probe into Hunter Biden's affairs in Ukraine was a good investigation and it was not politically motivated. On Wednesday, Johnson's committee and the Senate Finance Committee released their report, which concludes Hunter Biden's paid board position with the Ukrainian gas company Burisma created conflict of interest concerns for the Obama administration. At the time, Vice President Joe Biden was in charge of administration policy with Ukraine. The Biden campaign immediately panned the report. Mike Gracia, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow up 5 points and NASDAQ 42 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I know that on those tablets Mr. Moses brought down is the commandment to not covet. But I'll confess, my neighbor and his lawnmower is making it tough. He's got this stand-behind, ride-along space shuttle that covers probably 3 times more space than my trusty old lawn boy. So, when we have who mows the fastest races, which are completely fabricated in my head, he has some impressive advantages that I just don't have. And at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're blessed to have a pretty special advantage of our own, and one that could be a big deal for you. Our team is lucky to be an arm of a bigger company that is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park, Grove, Millville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org, corporate animalist number 1330, equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
British researchers weighing whether to conduct clinical trials deliberately exposing vaccinated volunteers to the coronavirus.
There are, perhaps surprisingly, lots of young, healthy people who say they're ready to volunteer for coronavirus challenge trials. It would be a way of finding out almost immediately whether a vaccine works, whereas with conventional studies, you have to wait for volunteers to be exposed to the virus in their daily lives. It could help speed the selection of the most promising coronavirus vaccines. There are currently 36 in clinical trials.
The BBC's Fergus Walsh. Volkswagen unveiling a battery-powered SUV that's headed for global markets, including the United States and China. VW taking a big step forward in its campaign to make electric cars a mass market choice around the world. News and analysis, townhall.com. A utility company is under the microscope as authorities investigate a deadly Southern California wildfire.
Federal investigators are looking into whether a huge wildfire near Los Angeles was sparked by Southern California Edison utility equipment. Edison says it's turned over a section of an overhead conductor from the utility's facility near a dam in the area, where the Bobcat fire started September 6th. The initial report of fire was near Cogswell Dam at 12:21 p.m. September 6th. The utility says 5 minutes earlier at 12:16 p.m., a circuit at a substation experienced a possible disturbance or event. Edison says cameras captured smoke developing in the area around 12:10 p.m. prior to the activity on Edison's circuit. Keith Peters reporting.
Just over 1 million Americans bought new homes last month as sales of new houses rose by 4.8%. That continued a summertime spike in home sales. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radios. Celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming worldwide at KCNR1460.com. I'm here with Ted Leidy today. This is usually Trish Clark's day, but Trish is going down, and so she's got a member of her family, so receiving an award, so that's where Trish is. So Ted's been on twice this week.
I love it. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, we're going to do this on a more regular basis, bring you in here, because I, on the dates that Linda's not here, that love to have you on.
Well, I really just enjoy spending time with my friend. I mean, really, it's a good time. And then you said the DA was coming in. That's always interesting.
That's it. He says, I don't care what happens. I've got to be here for the DA. And but you can't ask her about your trial. You know,
I can't
ask her about that.
No.
No pressure. In fact, she said, don't talk to me about your upcoming court date.
I got it.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
We
talked about
way.
Picking a jury, though.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We're going to talk about that again. Yeah. I find that extremely interesting about jury trials now. And Jared is on top of the weather right here.
Good morning. It's currently 63 degrees and a little bit hazy outside. It's going to be a high of 83 degrees with a low of 55. Tomorrow it's going to be a high of 86 degrees, a low of 60. It's going to be sunny and mostly clear. Saturday also sunny and mostly clear with a high of 90, a low of 65. And on Sunday it's going to get hotter with a high of 97 and a low of 67.
Okay, weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson. Chuck and Judy Kenny have had this business for over 23 years. And I can't say enough about how they support our community. It's not just with outstanding service, but he's won an award, a state-level award for hiring veterans. And I just love that. Plus, they're just really nice people. And he gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give him a call at 365-3793. Okay, we are here with Shasta County District Attorney Stephanie Bridget.
Good morning.
And you brought with you Kimberly Johnson, who from the Children's Legacy Center. And Kimberly's been on before, and it's such a great, great undertaking.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So, but good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
You know, one of the things, are court cases moving forward?
They are, yeah.
Okay.
They are. We've got jury trials going every week. They don't look like they look like, they looked like last February or January or any time prior to that.
You mean when the world was normal?
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So what do they look like now?
So now we've got to have everything spaced out. There's plexiglass around the witness stand, up by the judge, by the bailiff's desk. I mean, it's all over the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has to wear a mask. People are, when we're selecting a jury, the jurors are coming up in very small groups, depending on the size of the courtroom, usually maybe around 15 jurors, depending on the courtroom, and having to be talked to individually. They're spaced out in the audience. Only a couple are sitting in the jury box. So really, when you're there, you've got jurors all around
literally,
you.
You're, it's almost like a cyclorama where it's 360 degrees. So you're looking at jurors in the jury box,
right,
and you have to turn around and address the ones. Now, there's no visitors and there are no observers.
Each courtroom has a room for at least a couple visitors. It's very, very limited ability for people to come in. But it's still an open public courtroom,
okay,
and people can still go in there. So if there's been, you know, family members of either side who want to watch the trial, they've been able to accommodate that.
Sure. Now, tell us the problems. Tell us, you know, we talked about this last time, but I find it so fascinating.
Yeah.
you need to make contact with the jurors.
Yeah. Both the
defense counsel and the prosecutor have to make contact. So
yeah,
explain that?
Selecting a jury is probably the most important part of a jury trial. Because you have to, I mean, they're the ultimate deciders of what is going to happen in that case. So you can't just willy-nilly pick 12 people and then just go forward.
Yeah, first because, 12.
Right, yeah. Right. Because you
pick a number.
First six set of twos.
Yeah. That's like grabbing 12 random people off the street and bringing them over for dinner and assuming that they're all going to agree on a certain topic, you know. So you really have to, they have to have some type of a connection with you. You have to read their body language, their facial features. You got to see how they interact with the other jurors that are on there, what their life experiences are as opposed to another juror's life experiences to try to find out, okay, are these people going to get along? Are they going to be able to work together? Are they going to be able to connect with me, the person who's, you know, as the prosecutor?
Sure.
All of those things, because it's just one of the most, it's the part of jury selection that always, every day I'd go home with a headache. Because you spend all day thinking so hard about each
individual
person.
Picking it apart.
There are,
yeah.
And there are
apart.
Groups of people that you pay, not you, but
right.
that you know, a lot of the big law firms, they will hire somebody, and all they do is look at the jurors.
Right.
And give them, yeah, don't take that one, because when you mention this, they just boom, froze up. So what happens when they wear masks?
Well, you just don't see a lot of that. You don't see the face, the smirk to the side or the little smile or the little like frown. I mean, you really have to be focused on a person's eyes to pick up their facial features. And you just can't do that with all of those people spread out all around you, behind you, to the side of you.
Mm-hmm.
You just really can't.
And so, you know,
it's
looking at
harder.
Their eyes, that could be a smile like an agreement, or it could be like a frown like,
yeah.
You know,
because
their eyes move up and they go. And it's like,
no.
Okay, the eyes narrowed. Was that good or bad?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you
it
have
just,
the whole...
It makes it a lot
tough.
Harder, you know. Oh. But
it's not hard to pick me.
But you can also...
I can smell guilt. I can smell it.
You know, we're going to get to you in a second.
But taking a juror up into the witness box so that they can take their mask off when they're being questioned. So you can, to a certain extent, at times you can see what they're saying. I mean, it's really going to just depend on how each individual courtroom wants to do that. But you still aren't going to be able to see everybody else's reaction.
Yeah.
So it's just, it really makes it tough at this point to...
For both sides.
I mean, it is an equal obstacle that everybody is facing.
Equal opportunity for failure here.
Yeah.
So.
Carl, you sat through picking a jury, right?
No. You know
that?
What?
It is something to see.
No, but Linda has. I think she has at least once. But let me ask this question. You know me, and, you know, I know a lot of police and sheriff's deputies and all that. If I came up for a jury trial, would I automatically be kicked out because I do know you and the sheriff's deputies and all this kind of stuff?
My guess is the defense probably would kick you off just because of the enormous amount of connections. But they don't always kick someone off just because they do have a law enforcement connection. But on your level, probably.
Probably.
I mean, since we're actual friends and I'm the prosecutor on the
case.
Well,
I think you had your whole DA office had to recuse yourselves over somebody. I can't remember who it is right now, but
right.
Had to recuse yourselves because of your friendship.
Yeah, we do that at times. It's rare, but if there's a situation where, and that I know what case you're talking about, and it's not even because I felt I personally would be unfair. Like, I feel like doesn't matter if it's a friend who went and committed a murder or whatever. I could follow the law and make the decision and prosecute that person. But it's the public perception. Wait a minute, but that she's known that we've now researched it and she went to this party with that person and all these things. And they might think, no matter what I do, if I'm too hard or too light on that person, that public perception would come in. And sometimes that's the reason why you just have to not
be
on the case.
You have to do it. No matter if you can be fair or not, it's public perception.
Right, because people have to have, you know, faith in decisions that are made in the courtroom just for the whole system to have the integrity that it needs to have.
Okay. So I just found that interesting. We talked about it last month or before about the problems with picking a jury during this time frame. And I missed it last time where you said, well, when we get them in to them, we're talking to them, their mask comes off. And so now we can kind of watch them and see when you're asking
them
questions.
Well, that's all depend on the judge, too.
Oh.
What? I mean, each courtroom can do whatever the judges are deciding, because each judge is completely independent. They're each an elected individual that can make their independent decisions.
Are there judges when they're selected for that jury trial that you have to put your head down on your desk and go, oh, no?
Well, I mean, I think we have a really great judicial bench, and I would try a case in front of any of them. But we've got – definitely there's different personalities.
Sure.
And some personalities don't get along or conflict with others. And there are times when people are like, wow, I don't want to try this particular case in front of that particular judge or because I've had these issues.
This particular case.
I mean, you never really know, but – That can be a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're here with Shasta County District Attorney Stephanie Bridget and Kimberly Johnson from the Children's Legacy Center. We're going to be speaking with her, too, because Stephanie is on the board of that. We just talked about the difficulties for both sides and during COVID because the way the jury is spread out and everybody's wearing masks about kind of like interacting with them and trying to get a read on the jurors. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Locally owned, locally operated, community oriented. This is just a great bank. Where else when you walk in and you're opening up an account, here comes the president of the bank out and just to say hello. Say hi, Wayne. We're really glad you're here. And, you know, the people there are like that. They're friendly. They want you to be a success. Cornerstone Community Bank, during all of this COVID and everything that goes on, fires and everything, they are still moving local dreams forward. Two branches in town at 1845 California Street, and the other one and the Old Rayleigh Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. For our friends in Red Bluff, they're at 500 Riverside Way. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back with our DA and Ted Leidy and Carl Bott.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, health care, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz. And I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 1423306.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. ICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. ICAP does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. ICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call ICAP services for more information, 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009401 00 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. Good morning, everybody. Carl Watt and Ted Lighty. Trish is on assignment today. And welcome back to the show. Phone lines here, 605-4567, 820 in the morning, 63 degrees out there. Again, yesterday I said, you know, you can say hazy. My weather report says smoke. So I think we're going to be having this in the, for the near future, considering there's, you know, 4 million acres or of California's on fire, and one almost a million acres to the on the coast. We're pretty much, I get phone calls all the time or emails or questions. How are you doing? How's it? How is it? And I say, we in Shasta County right now are blessed that we have not had one like we did before in the car fire. I said, but we have them to the north, the south, the east, in the west.
Well, we're not out of the woods yet.
We're not out of the woods yet.
I mean, we still got to wait for rain.
And they busted, they had, I just saw the fire report came in that in one of the areas they had fire in the homeless camp that burnt tents, all types of garbage that was there and other things. Did you see that?
I did.
It said garbage. But tents and all types of things, and then they had to come down and put that out. And there lies the danger. You have these campfires from the homeless camps. If they get loose, Henderson Open Space had two of them.
Because it gets a little cooler in the evenings.
Yeah, gets a little cooler in the evenings. Yeah. Okay, we are here with Shasta County District Attorney Stephanie Bridget, and her guest is Kimberly Johnson, who heads up the Children's Legacy Center. So, Kimberly, tell us what that is.
So the Children's Legacy Center is Shasta County's model of what's called a Children's Advocacy Center, which was started over 30 years ago, actually by a district attorney named Bud Hancock in Huntsville, Alabama. And really at its core, it started out with the hope of bringing together law enforcement and child welfare for child abuse investigations and ensuring that communication was happening between those two agencies. So over the last 30 years, it's become, you know, really the gold standard by which child abuse investigations are investigated and then hopefully helps lead to successful prosecutions as well. So what happens at our center, we have a forensic interviewer who's employed by us, and the kiddos come into the Children's Legacy Center, which is a very child-friendly environment. They're not having to go to the police department or the district attorney's office or to Children's Services in order to be interviewed. They can come to us, and our whole center was built for them. So we do our interviews on site, and then also on site is a viewing room. So while the kiddo is being interviewed, in another room down the hall is a viewing room with a large screen, and that child's prosecutor, their social worker, potentially even their physician, are able to watch that interview take place live. Obviously, also their investigator is there as well, the detective on the case.
So instead of having the child to be questioned by four or five different people, it's one person who's trained how to do this, and then if they have questions, they can then submit them probably through through an earphone or something.
That's exactly right.
So they can say, please follow up on this or ask this.
Correct. That's it.
And so it just makes it a lot easier.
It makes it a lot, yeah, and it's very trauma-informed, so it's not traumatizing to the child, which is very important. And then ultimately, it leads, statistically, Children's Advocacy Centers, there's over 800 of them across the United States. They save the community about an average of $1,000 per investigation because it's a more efficient model. And additionally, they increase prosecution rates quite substantially as well. So It's okay. Good all around.
You know, as you know, there's been cases where they've when children and children are easily led. Yes. As you know, there was that one case, that famous case, you probably know which one it is, with the child care facility.
Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, mm-hmm. where the children, they were led down the path of saying there'd been all types of sexual perversions and bestiality and things like this, only to find out that it was the way, in many cases, how the questions were asked. Yeah. So with one person asking the questions and all the observers there, that kind of keeps that from happening, too. It also protects the person that's been arrested or is being investigated.
Absolutely. I love how informed you are on it. It's wildly refreshing. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That case in Los Angeles, and part of what was so hard was, you know, it lasted, these children were in preschool, and it lasted well into them being in high school. That's how long the case lasted. Yeah. So it was these children's entire life growing up.
Yeah.
And really, by the time they're teenagers, they don't even really know what happened, right? Because they've been so kind of coerced. But our forensic interviewer goes through a process called Certified Forensic Interviewer training, CFIT training, and it is the evidence-based model for ensuring that kids are not led or directed in the conversation.
Yeah, because that, you know, because children want to please adults,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and Stephanie's here nodding her head that
that
you've got to really watch it, because then, you know, I mean, and then trying to rely on a 4 or 5 year old or 6 year olds, you know, they don't go on the stand though, do they?
Well, I mean, if it ultimately goes to a jury trial, yes, we can put young children on the stand. 4 is a little old. It's going to depend on whether a child can qualify, meaning it can be shown usually by examination with the judge and stuff in the court that they understand the truth from a lie and all of that.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, the goal is for the case to be so solid and so iron tight that they're going to enter some type of a plea deal prior to trial, because we really don't want to have to put that child on the stand in front of jurors, in front of a judge with a bailiff and an audience. I mean, that can be very traumatic.
Yeah.
We do it if we have to, because we don't want that person out there injuring any other children. But if we can really work in our community to bring to have these types of interviews done, we can have a solid case and hopefully spare a lot of children from that process.
Okay. Now, how many Children Legacy Center? You're getting ready to open up here next month?
That's the million-dollar question. I would really like for us to be doing on-site interviews within about the next 6 weeks or so.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, do you have a separate facility, or is it like a storefront, or how is it?
Currently?
Yeah.
Currently, we will go wherever we're sort of summoned. So we will work out of the DA's office or out of our PD. Our forensic interviewer and our multidisciplinary team coordinator are going to each of the agencies independently.
Okay.
You know,
because we've been doing the model.
Right.
We are up and running.
Absolutely.
And going.
The models you're using already. But if you have your own place, that just makes it easier, I imagine.
Yes,
which we do. It's almost ready.
A year later.
So, Kimberly's there every day, so maybe she can give us an update on.
So you have cameras, you have sound equipment, recording equipment. You've got the room that I'm sure is very comfortable for the child.
Yes.
I mean, is that part of it? I'm just making this stuff up.
Absolutely. I mean, no, you're doing a great
job.
Yeah. Every single decision that has gone into, I mean, down to the fabric choice and the paint color on the wall has been done with the children in mind. And then we also have our medical exam suite that's on site as well. So the kiddos will be able to get their medical exam there as well.
Okay.
Right.
Stephanie, how many of these do we have?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, we do get a lot every year. If I just look at our statistics from 2019, we had, when we're just looking at sex crimes, we had 63 cases that were filed in 2019.
This is against
children. That's
all
sex crimes.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I actually don't have it broken down by children. However, that is the vast majority of cases that we're going to have. We do have adult rape type cases, but that is not the lion's share of the cases that we get.
It's mainly children.
We have a lot more children cases than
now,
we have adult
cases. And we don't even know yet because of COVID.
Right.
I mean, once COVID, when these kids go back to school, teachers are one of the first lines of identifying children being abused and molested. And a lot of them don't even go back to school. They're still at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like everything else.
It'll
domestic
be,
violence, everything. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what our 2020 statistics are with everything that's gone on and, you know, when the cases started coming in. But we are still getting cases and have been throughout this entire time. But we don't have the 2020 statistics at this time.
You know what? And this isn't a political statement at all, but I've heard this from many, many different places, is the collateral damage of COVID. We have no idea.
Right.
Have no idea yet how bad it was. When it comes to suicide, you know, child molestation, child abuse, domestic violence, suicide, alcohol, drugs, all of these things. Because
right.
people have lost their jobs, their home, they're angry, all of these things.
Yeah. We're going to be sorting it out for years.
I think so.
Kimberly, yeah. I'm on the website, the children'slegacycenter.org right now, and Is that the picture of your building?
It is, yes.
Wow, nice. Children'sLegacyCenter.org. It's really nice.
Thank you so much. Take a look at it.
Okay, we got to take a quick break here. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop is where Ted and I get our hair cut.
Yep.
I had to shame Ted into leaving his hairstylist.
I had a stylist. We were good friends. Had been friends forever. We had to break up.
And there was tears. There were tears from you, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
I looked her dead in the eyeball. She said, Ted, thanks. Most people just text me.
That's right. Sometimes just text you or they ghost you.
Yeah.
We're still in the air, girls. So so they're hearing everything you're saying. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's why. And we're doing a commercial right now.
Yeah, for Cypress Square Barber. That's our barber.
Yeah, so that's why we're doing it. We're not just
love live radio.
We're not just chit-chatting here.
Yeah, we're really doing a commercial.
Maybe I shouldn't have said girls, but please don't take that one wrong. But, you know. Anyway, the Cypress Square Barber Shop is off of Athens Avenue and a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can make an appointment at 244-9478. Man's Last Stronghold.
Logan and Tim, go see him.
There you go. All right. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Now the microphones are turned off.
Here we go.
Take the census today. For every person that isn't counted, Shasta County could lose up to $1,000 per year for the next 10 years. We know we can do great things when we come together and that there is power in our numbers. Do your part. Check your mailbox or front door for your paper form. You can also take the census by phone at 844-330-2020 or online at my2020census.gov. By taking a few minutes to fill out the 9-question confidential survey, you can help shape the future of our communities.
You win, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play coupon in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday coupons from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match up to $100 in free play. To sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Only one birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Slot play limited to $100. Details at windriver.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. Trish is on assignment today. Linda's on assignment today. And Ted's here.
Yes.
His assignment is being right here.
Hey, and guess what? On time and on target. Army strong.
Army strong. At 1 minute before we came on.
I walked in, opened my computer, sat down, and ready to talk.
But, you know, we crossed the line of departure at 7:05. And he was here.
That's right.
So there you go.
Not happy to do it.
Not at 7:05:10. Nope, that's late.
That is too late, yeah.
That is too late. Hey, I want to talk about the Nick Dahl 2020 Memorial Golf Tournament. Nick Dahl was a veteran of Iraq and came back, had problems with PTSD, and finding housing, eventually died trying to get treatment at a facility.
You know, it was really something having Pam in here and have her tell that story. It must be very difficult for her.
It is.
And
I'm
so
sure.
I appreciated it.
And, you know, so Pam and Mike Dahl, they've started this the Nick Dahl Memorial Fund. And what this does is it helps take veterans off the street. And it works. It's worked very well. They go to housing at the Shasta Veterans Center. And they're having a golf tournament, and they still needed, I think, two more teams last time we talked. And or you can just donate. They're having a number of great raffle items. Also, $75, and it includes lunch and cart and all that, nine holes of golf. Or you can just come in for $20 just for the lunch. So
Great Ranch in Palo Cedro.
At the Great Ranch in Palo Cedro, right. The golf course there. For more information, give Pam a call at 227-7808 or Mike at 941-4327. Okay. We're here. Ted and I are here with Shasta County DA, Stephanie Bridget, and Kimberly Johnson, who heads up the Children's Legacy Center, which is a center that helps children who have been sexually abused, physically abused. And what they do, instead of like having four different agencies talk to the child, this consolidates it into one trained person in there interacting with the child, and then everybody else that has a dog in the fire or an oar in the water can watch this and listen to this. And if they want follow-up questions, they have it set up so they can ask the question through the interviewer so that everybody hears all the questions, gets all the information. And then I guess it's probably open to defense attorneys too. Then no, okay. This is just the initial. Okay, this is just the initial investigation.
This would be
it.
Before there's even a case anything.
They're just finding out from the child what happened.
Correct.
And it's in a friendly, comfortable situation where the child is. You know, the child is already probably scared. Frightened of things and all this, so you have a trained person in there to talk with them.
Yes.
Did I catch all that right?
You did an excellent job.
Okay,
I should take you on the road with me.
Anyway, the on the road again.
Yeah, there we go.
They're getting ready to open up the new Legacy Center in about 6 weeks.
Yes, sir.
It's already being used though. This technique is being used already.
Right, yes. We've already got the model up and running here in Shasta County. It's something that's been missing in our community for forever. I mean, everyone knows we have very high ACE scores here. So having something in our community that's a child advocacy center that focuses just on the child is just an amazing opportunity for us now that we're going to have this. And though we've been doing it up to this point as we've been working to get the building open, we've been together for 3-4 years mm-hmm. working on this project, a long time.
Okay.
Once the center's open, we'll be able to service so many more children and just help so many more people in our community.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah. You said that you had some more statistics that you said, I think.
Yeah. So earlier we were talking about sexual abuse, but we also have, obviously, we do a lot of child physical abuse or child neglect type cases. And in 2019, my office saw 162 cases filed that fall under that child abuse category.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the 63 sexual abuse cases, of course, some of those would have been adult. So we're, you know, probably easily at 200 cases in 2019 that just involved children.
We have one safe place also comes in here once a month, and Faith Hornsby, who is their spokesman. It was just a very pleasant,
sure.
happy person.
Yeah.
The last time she was on, she said that they had a 40% increase in calls at One Safe Place for August. But she is on the sexual response assistance team,
sure.
that goes out, you know, yeah. for sexual assault.
Right.
She was on three of them that week.
Yeah.
And Faith, who is always a very pleasant, outgoing, big smile on her face. She wasn't smiling. This was
yeah.
definitely impacting on her. So then when I ask Kimberly this, you just see a disaster when it comes to kids being assaulted. How do y'all handle that?
So I think that self-care is a huge conversation that we are constantly having as a team, because our team is sort of we're very focused on obviously the child and their families, and then we're also focused on ensuring that we're creating a space that our agencies can come to, and it's heavy for all of us for sure. So we do a lot of debriefing. We talk a lot about self-care. I think everyone has a different kind of category of what that looks like for them. So for us, it's just important that our staff is doing something in that category of self-care. Definitely on the debrief side, it's really important. I will say, you know, we were just having a conversation yesterday with the team about some of the increase that we've seen in the physical abuse forensic interviews that have been done. And they kind of hit you in a different way. So I think that's something that we didn't quite expect, but we're seeing some of that from COVID. And I think we talk about it a little bit tenderly for so many reasons. I think we're so protective of the cases and the kiddos and the agencies that we work with. But also, you know, you're totally right. We've yet to see the full impact of what COVID has done and caused. So it's going to be interesting to see how it continues to unfold.
Okay. It's a tough job.
It's a very tough job. Yes.
And so I imagine that you at some points that there's burnout on it. Hopefully you haven't reached that yet. So going back to Stephanie here.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephanie, the crime dropped during COVID. I think, well, the crime rates, according to the chief.
Maybe reported crimes.
Reported crimes, you're right. Well, the other thing, yeah. too, is more people were staying at home, so
sure.
that gives people less chance of breaking into
sure.
their houses.
I mean, I guess when you say businesses that were being stuff stolen from them and they're closed,
yeah.
probably aren't going to have those thefts occurring there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the more victim crimes with, there's victim crimes and thefts, but when I'm talking about like physical abuse crimes,
yeah. mm-hmm.
I can't say that I would agree that those have dropped. Just
okay.
maybe just the reporting of them and the ability to report those and see.
Well,
those.
That's also the
sure.
part that was the last part, you know,
yeah.
with the chief and the sheriff is that
yeah.
you know, the reported crimes.
Right.
They think they're still going on.
Totally.
Which is the scary part.
We would think they're going up because of the actual
yeah.
stress, additional stresses that people are under, as you kind of touched on earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. What would you say, we've got like a minute left in this segment, what's the biggest thing that you're going to be facing here in the next few months? You know, as places are opening up at the DA, what is your biggest concern right now?
with additional places, businesses,
with the DA's office. I mean, you must. I know you plan out.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that's the type of person you are. But, you know, so do you sit down with your people and say, okay, the next 6 months, I'm concerned about this.
Well, I think our biggest struggle right now, and it's going to continue to be that for a while, is our jury trials. Mm-hmm. Because they, and that's where we do focus a lot of our conversations right now, because they're just stacking up. Because we take a jury trial that, you know, even a homicide case, we've done at least one homicide case, and we're in the middle of a second one right now during COVID. But the first one probably would have been a 8-day jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being like 5 or 6 weeks, because it takes so long to pick the jury that you can end up picking a jury for 4 weeks for 1 week of evidence.
Yeah.
Where pre-COVID we would, you know, pick a jury in 2 or 3 days, 4 days of evidence, close, we're done.
Go to the next one.
So the other cases in the system are not stopping. They're just continuing to back up and back up and back up. So that is our biggest issue that we're going to continue to have for a long time.
Okay. And for when the sheriff was in here the other day, people that have gone through the system and they've been found guilty and they're supposed to be going to a state prison, that's backing up. I think he said 127, and that was 2 weeks ago, that we're holding in our county jail that should be in a state prison, but the state prisons aren't taking them because of COVID, even though that they're, you could say, well, we've isolated them here, you know, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got 127 people right there that are taking 127 beds, plus the other ones that ordinarily would be in, you know, that would be going to state prison, but because of AB 109, you've got those you're keeping, for some of them for up to, what, 5 years, 4 or 5 years?
Oh, well, they can have any length of sentence. So we've got, like you said, the people who should be in state prison. I'm sure that number is much higher. I haven't asked the sheriff recently what it is, but if it was 127
that was
two weeks ago. It's got to be at least 160 would be my guess. I mean, there's people getting state prison sentences probably daily, if not every other day in court. So those numbers are going to be adding up quite quickly, and they fill up our jail. And then, like you said, we have the people who are part of the changes in the law, who now their sentence, they can never go to state prison. So if they get a 5-year sentence, prison sentence, or 10-year prison sentence, or 20-year, it can only be served in our local jail.
And think about this, because they've got some cases, I think down in L.A. County, they had some guy that was sentenced to 26 years in the county jail.
Right.
And not the prison,
and
but
these
the county jail.
I mean, these jails, they weren't built for long-term prisoners.
A year or less, usually, right?
Yeah. I mean, what's going to be longer, because if we have homicide cases and stuff that take longer through the system, but I think that general idea is that it would be 1 year or less.
Yeah.
So that's a huge impact. And then it impacts us, because now we've got more people who can't sit in jail to make it to court, they fail to appear, and commit more crimes. So it really trickles out into every area of the criminal justice system.
So, I mean, you could foresee, if they keep the prison shut down through the end of the year, you could have well over 50%, approaching even higher, and of course over that, of state prison that should be in state prison, but we're having to hold them here.
Yeah.
And we hold them, and they don't pay us the same amount it costs to keep them.
No.
So when you add that up,
it's like $12 or something difference
that we're getting short per prisoner
and not covering medical or any of that.
But the hundreds of thousands of dollars that's coming out of our pocket. To take care of these guys and girls that should be in a state prison.
Yeah.
Okay, got to take a quick break. 8:48 in the morning, 64 degrees out there. It's going to be a little smoky today. The air quality index, though, is not that bad. Still moderately, you know, it's moderate as opposed to being unhealthy. So we'll be right back after these messages. Ted Leidy, Carl Bott, Shasta County DA Stephanie Bridget, and Kimberly Johnson, who heads up the Children's Legacy Center. We'll be right back.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work. And we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-3306.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Pension reform. Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. How strong is Shasta County government? One factor to examine is pension debt. Shasta County is underfunded to the tune of $534 million. This means that for Shasta County taxpayers, we must spend approximately $20 million a year for the next 20 years to cover this debt. What could we do with an extra $20 million a year? I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I just thought you ought to know. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
To Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. Tomorrow we have One Safe Place with us at 8 o'clock, and we've got a few other surprises that's going to happen. We've been asking our representatives, Steve Morgan and Adam McElvain. Adam's going to be on soon. He's running, of course, for re-election for city council, and he's the last one. We've had everybody else on. And Matt is listening out there. I'm going to reach you today with your question. And Richard, if you can hang on for a second, we're going to finish up with Kimberly Johnson from the Children's Legacy Center because she's got to run to another appointment she has that is more important than us, I guess.
Hey, now. I don't know about that.
Okay, Kimberly, how many people, I mean, once you're up and running, how many people can you see?
That's a great question. So we've kind of pulled our numbers from law enforcement and child welfare, and we're estimating somewhere in the ballpark of 350 to 400 a year just in Shasta County alone. Although I will say, and especially we don't yet know the impact of the fires, but we also can serve kids from outside agencies or even state and federal law enforcement as well.
Okay. Now, you've seen some of these cases. You've been up and running for...
It depends on what I've been running calls, but about a year. Let's say a year.
A year. And now you're seeing some of these cases are going to trial.
Yes.
And, the one person that we were talking about, he didn't walk on this.
No. Yeah, so it does. It goes back, I think, to the self-care component. So being able to, we're just now starting to see some of the full circle moments with the cases that the Children's mm-hmm. Legacy Center has a direct connect to. And really, we have these beautiful moments of a few weeks ago, it was me, naming fish with a kiddo, and we're laughing hysterically as we're naming fish. And those are the grounding and fulfilling moments. And there really is a lot of joy in the work as long. Mm-hmm. So the hope balances out the hard, I think, is important to say.
Absolutely. But one of the ones that, through your agency, the perp got 100 years, something like 100 years in jail.
Yeah, something quite
like
significant.
That.
Yes.
Quite significant.
Quite significant, yes.
So this is something that I urge people to go to the Children's Legacy Center.com or org.
.org.
Children's Legacy Center.org. Ted, you saw the... you went to the website.
The website, yeah. I've been cruising it during the interview. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Great looking facility.
Thank you.
Last thoughts before you leave.
I'm really grateful for the opportunity to come and share, and I'm also feeling super inspired of just how informed that you guys are. That just feels very exciting. If anyone wants more information or is interested in donating or learning more about the work we do, you can obviously go to our website. We also have a Facebook page and an Instagram. Everything is just Children's Legacy Center, and we're doing lots of Insta stories about our new building project, which is very, very fun.
Great. Thank awesome. You so much. And
thank you
for what you're doing. Thank you.
You
for what you're doing. Okay,
thanks,
Richard. Ken. Richard, good morning.
Morning.
Do you have a question?
Good morning.
Do you have a question for our district attorney?
One comment, one question. So Karen Ramstrom's latest health order to the nurses, et cetera, she cites a certain law which gives the health officer general authority to take actions to prevent spread, infection, et cetera. Can the DA please explain to the radio audience that such general authority does not take away constitutional or Bill of Rights issues, protections for the people? So, and then my question to her, in that same order, the health officer threatens criminal and civil penalties, which I believe have to go through the DA's office. And I want to know if the DA is going to prosecute such referrals. Thank you so much. I will hang up.
Thanks, Richard.
So this topic has been something that's been kind of out there ever since really the beginning of COVID, and what authority do these orders that are coming from, be it the governor or public health officers, and, are they law? Are they not law? And if you do a legal analysis of it, there are statutory laws on the book that allow them to make orders that are enforceable criminally. So that is just the way that it does work, because we have certainly looked at that. But then it's going to come down to, are there going to be local agencies that are going to go out and that they're going to get reports of violations first, and whether they're going to investigate those, and whether they're going to find violations and even submit them to my office. I don't feel like this is an area that, and I think I've spoken with other law enforcement partners that this is an area that is that well served in the criminal justice system. We've got a lot that it is not well served in the criminal justice system, because we've got, people, prisoners being let out of our state prisons every month, by the thousands. To every community, our community gets back so many every month, all because of what's going on, COVID-related, based on governor orders. So I'm just not really a fan of then turning around and trying to criminalize our business owners or our health officer, our health providers like nurses and doctors and stuff like that. I just don't think that that's right if we are decriminalizing people who are out there harming our community by committing crimes and letting them out and then turning around and wanting to make criminals out of our business owners.
So,
I just don't agree with that.
I think both the sheriff and both chiefs of police and Anderson and Redding and, of course, the sheriff, they feel the same way. They're exactly. not going to make criminals out of anybody. And what you've just said is right. your priorities are in a completely different direction. You're not going to prosecute people
yeah.
for this.
Our priorities are on the criminal, yeah. on the crimes that are occurring like we've just been talking about. We've
yeah.
got an enormous work caseload with just child abusers, people who are committing homicides, stalking, rapes, all that. Those are the crimes that we are focusing on.
Okay. Stephanie Bridget, thank you so much for being with us today. And Ted, you're always welcome here.
Well, thank you very much. It's fantastic to be here.
Yeah,
I'm glad that I got to visit with the DA a little bit and met Kimberly Johnson. I'd never met her before, and it was great.
How about
I just love it.
All these new laws that they have, it comes down to it, and it irritates people. But you look at it priority. Is this something I'm going to spend hours? And it could be anything. It could be it could be almost anything. But if it's something that's not you don't want to prosecute, okay, maybe against law. Okay, something as simple as hey, he bought ammo in another state. If it comes down, I mean, this falls kind of like down in your list of priorities.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to look at every case, and we're going to look at. Whether you can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, which means the elements are met, but also that our community